1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. After days of meetings on a Gaza ceasefire with President Trump and lawmakers, Israel's prime minister left the White House, making no announcement on finalizing an agreement. During talks with African leaders today, President Trump hinted there is progress.
We want to have a ceasefire. We want to have peace. We want to get the hostages back. And I think we're close to doing it.
Israeli Defense Forces chief also signaling they have created, quote, suitable conditions for a ceasefire deal to take hold. The death toll in Texas Hill Country now rising to 118 after Friday's flash floods. The search for 170 still missing across six counties, the majority in Kerr County, where Boys and Girls camps were located. Sheriff Larry Letha says there will be a full investigation into the warning system.
As with other significant events that our emergencies services encounter, this incident will be reviewed. You have my word.
At least three died in New Mexico after a separate storm overnight triggered historic flooding. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska. For the third straight year, the Universities of Wisconsin system is looking to increase tuition rates for its four-year campuses. UW schools will raise tuition by 5%, except for Green Bay going up by 4% and River Falls adding 5.8%. The announcement comes after the state's biennial budget provided $256 million in additional funding to UW. After a 10-year freeze on tuition increases, the UW system raised tuition by 5% in 2023 and 3.75% in 2024. The Board of Regents will vote on the tuition increases on Thursday. While the UW system is considering increasing tuition by 5% at all of its campuses this week, a school in Iowa is taking a different approach to attracting undergraduates. The University of Northern Iowa, which is located about 2.5 hours southwest of La Crosse, is offering its in-state tuition rate to any incoming students from Iowa's bordering states, including Wisconsin. The undergraduate tuition rate for this fall at UNI is $10,201, which is $159 cheaper than the proposed increased tuition rate for UW-La Crosse this fall. Officials in two counties are investigating after two people were found dead in Dane County and a third person died after a standoff with law enforcement in Vernon County Tuesday afternoon. A man was sought by the Dane County Sheriff's Office after a man and woman were found dead at a home in the town of Middleton. The suspect fled west on Highway 14 and was later found south of Viroqua, where he took his own life after a standoff, according to Vernon County Sheriff Roy Torgerson. Highway 14 was closed in Vernon County for over 3 hours. We'll have a break from the rain for a couple of days before showers and storms return at the end of the week. Today will be sunny with highs in the low to mid-80s across the Coulee region. Wednesday will be sunny and warm with highs in the mid-80s around La Crosse. Thursday night into Friday, chances of rain showers and storms increase, with the potential for an inch or two of rain on Friday. Then we'll see a gradual warm-up into early next week, where highs will be around 90 degrees. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast. Download the free Civic Media app now at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The Brewers and the Dodgers, Game 3 today. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens from AmFam Field in Milwaukee, where the Brewers and Dodgers are wrapping up their series. The Brewers winning again last night 3-1. Rookie pitcher Jacob Mizorowski throwing fastballs over 100 miles an hour. What was it like facing the Miz for the first time? Dodgers manager Dave Roberts.
We hadn't seen him before, and the stuff's really good. The fastball's pretty special, and you know it's hard to find silver lining when a guy strikes out 12 guys.
The game televised nationally on TBS, announcer Brian Anderson interviewing manager Pat Murphy live during the game when he let out a swear word over the air by accident.
Murph, thanks for spending some time with us. We got to get your thoughts, what you've seen so far from your flamethrower, Jacob Mizorowski. Pretty elite stuff here as Monasterio sends one to left. Call
get out of here.
It's D. It's caught at the wall.
Man, looks like you get it off the end a little bit.
That's the Brewers manager, Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Dry and sunny today with calm winds and comfortable conditions with highs in the low 80s. And it won't be too humid either. That holds off until tomorrow, becoming more muggy, partly sunny. Highs will make it to the mid-80s. Then a chance of some storms tomorrow afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, currently 82 degrees.
Matt Nair on air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump is again trying to have it both ways on agricultural workers. He says they're working on, quote, a temporary pass where the farmer can have a little control as opposed to you walk in and take everybody away. He's describing feudalism, where the people who work the land are more under direct control of the land owners rather than the rule of law. He wants the vassals. He wants the lords. He wants the peasants.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, I'll be joined by Celly Flores, a DACA recipient. We'll explore what it was like watching the 2024 election unfold and what it's like now watching Donald Trump attack immigrants from coast to coast.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh along with Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. Glad to have you along here on a Wednesday, July 9th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, and it is
Hump Day.
That's right. Here we are halfway through the weekend. Really, Zommers, really, by the way, it's 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock. Welcome in, everybody. Mostly sunny skies downtown Madison at the world headquarters here on State Street. Zommers, for it really feels in a way like this is Friday to me, because the next couple of days really aren't work at all, because we're going to be at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair with our friend, our colleague, the host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, Mr. Pat Kreitlow, who joins us from beautiful Lake Wissota.
And is currently muted.
Who can? Don't put Pat in a corner.
don't trust him with technology either. If you think that going to the Northern Wisconsin State Fair and working a shift there isn't work, you apparently did not see the barn schedule. I put you down for a few shifts there, and the shovel will be waiting.
So. Hey, if there's anything I'm good at, it's shoveling manure.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, Tony, it's going to be a lot of fun.
It is. Tony says, where's Trigby? He's missing the guy he idolized on TV growing up.
Shut up, Tony.
Wow, Tony. Jeez. Filling in for Mr.
Coming off the
Olson.
Top rope real early in the show here, Tony.
Right? No, Trigby is he's traveling. He's in high demand. So he's supposed to be getting to O'Hare. He thinks he's going to join us before the end of this half hour. I have my doubts. We'll see.
It depends on where the private jets, do they get priority as he comes in? I don't know.
He does not own one, but the funny thing is he occasionally does travel by private jet.
And I like how he phrases that as occasionally.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Patrick, I'm truly excited. We're going to be up at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair tomorrow and Friday. And here's how good a broadcaster, how good a friend Pat Kreitlow is. He does his 3 hours of fine entertainment and news from 6 until 9 a.m., and then he has the courtesy, the kindness to come over and join us for a couple hours the next 2 days. Just thank you very much for doing this, Pat.
It's what a good host is supposed to do, and I love the fair. I've lived here now in Chippewa for 30 years, and love the fair every year going there. It's one of those where it's not too big, it's not too small, it's got two beer gardens in case you don't like somebody at the one. You can go to the other, and somebody else will give you the stink eye. But no, good entertainment, wide variety of food. You got your animals, you got your rides. And the thing that really won me over when I moved here was something you can't see at, you know, your big old state fairs. You see the blue ribbons for the animals and things like that. But there's a building just devoted to the schools in Chippewa County. And it's just kids' artwork, kids' projects, all kinds of kid-related things in that little building. And it's just adorable knowing that your kids could, you know, be in that building with their stuff. And I'm pretty sure mine were at some point here. But, you know, it's just it's very community-oriented. And it's something I'm looking forward to having you see again.
Yeah, we had a ball up there last year. Trigvy was with me. We stopped and did this last year with Pat for one day. And so to, this year, we get to be there for 2 days. Looking forward to it. Thanks to Pat.
Wait. What? Is Trigvy coming?
Would that Trigvy be some be of you is flying out here? I think he's just going to be in Chicago. But would that be cool if he was driving up here?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'd gas up the pontoon and everything here. But
look at that.
All right. All right.
We'll see. Maybe we can strong arm him to come in. But many thanks to you, Pat. We're going to have Rusty Volk. Now, he was fantastic. He was on last year. He is the director of the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. He will be joining us tomorrow at the top of the show. And then we're also going to have, for guests tomorrow, we are going to have Eric Anderson, who is the director of the U.S. Coob Championship and editor of Coob Nation Magazine. This is a big deal, and then the national championships are in Eau Claire this weekend, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, I mean, there's no other game where you can throw lumber at each other.
Right.
I mean, you're not supposed to, I guess. But, nope, it's a very, very popular game around here, so I'm not a bit surprised that you've got the World Championships.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Then on Friday, we have BJ Hollers, a great filmmaker. He did that great documentary on the Uniroyal plant closing in Eau Claire. We were up there for the world premiere last year. And he's going to be back on the show on Friday. He has a new upcoming documentary on, guess what? Coob. And so that'll be fun. And also author Ken Szymanski, who is an educator in the Eau Claire Public School District. He is going to be out. He has a brand new book coming out in part on the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. So we have all those great guests. Plus, Pat and I are going to sample some fair food. Not great food, not bad food, just fair food. And
No. It's all great fair food. Right. It's great fair food.
And then we're going to, my goal this year, and my lovely and talented sister who you met, Heather, is going to be our on-site producer once again. I'm hoping to get into the show barns because my goal this year, Pat, is to get a young 4-H'er or somebody with a small animal. It could be a rabbit, could be a rooster, could be a chicken. I don't care because hilarity, as you know, as you see, seasoned broadcaster that you are, hilarity ensues when you're live on the air with animals and kids.
All right, we're going to check the rules first to make sure that the building where we're in will allow wild varmints like that to come on in, or domesticated, you know, farm animals, right, as the case.
Well, they're
may
letting
be
me in.
But like I said, varmints. So we'll see what the rules are and make sure that you can on live radio, kids, be listening as Todd Albee becomes the first radio host ever bitten by a bunny rabbit live on air.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yes, or some other.
I could call the doctor
animal
and get a rabies shot live on the air.
That's right.
I'll do anything for a bit. So,
you know. Yes, you will. Yep. So Todd meets an animal coming up this week.
Sounds like my last date. But anyway, it's going to be a good time had by all at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. So join Pat and I to the next 2 days from the beautiful Chippewa Valley. From Chippewa Falls at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. Not everybody is listening to us on the network right now, Pat, because on several of our stations, as you well know, the Brewers are taking on the Los Angeles Dodgers on many of our stations, the Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. Wow, the Miz once again last night. Big win. Exciting. Two big wins over the world champion defending Dodgers at AmFam Field.
It was just so great watching him, especially at the very start of the game when Mizorowski's up there and the first batter to face is Shohei Ohtani. Mm-hmm. And strike one and strike two, and you're already getting excited. And he throws that 0-2 pitch, and Shohei says, "Welcome to the bigs, Jacob Mizorowski," as I launched this thing 431 feet. But that was it. Then he settled it. He struck out the next five Dodgers in a row. Yeah. Six shutout innings. He's insanely good and so much fun to watch.
Fun time to be a Brewer fan for sure. Lots of news to get to here. I thought we might start with this from the old Huffington Post headline. GOP representative weirdly lies about helping save his state survive the Medicaid cut he voted for.
Yes.
I know you talked about it on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow this morning. I've been following this, but in brief, you can look up the story on Huffington Post. But our old friend, I say this tongue-in-cheek, Derek Van Orden, Congressman Derek Van Orden from the 3rd Congressional District, he's making a big deal in a post from Friday where he complained that a PBS story about Wisconsin state legislators racing to pass their budget to secure the extra funding, quote, failed to mention that we worked seamlessly with the state governor to get this done, unquote. And he goes on the same day, he accused Evers of telling, quote, a flat out lie, unquote, about Republicans in Congress selling out families to pay for tax cuts for the rich. So basically, I think you've talked about your show, Pat, we've talked about here, state legislators, the governor, got the budget deal done for the state. We can argue that one way or the other. But they had to beat the clock before the national budget was passed and signed. Otherwise, Wisconsin would have lost out on, what, $1 billion, according to State Senator Kelda Royce. And so Evers sent this perfunctory letter, and he has a copy of it, to Governor Evers saying, you need to do this. And then he votes against this.
Well, of course. I mean, this is what he does. Derek Van Orden has not been involved in politics very long. You and I have been involved a lot longer, and we have seen what he's doing here. He's doing things that, you know, rookies do, and that is trying to have it both ways and honestly believe in your heart of hearts that you are able to have it both ways and that everybody believes you when you try to have it both ways. When you say, I am absolutely for this budget. It makes these necessary reforms to Medicaid. It's going to slash and burn Medicaid, but, you know, that's okay. We need to cut this. And then write a letter that says, hey, Governor, I know I'm voting for this bill, but, boy, there's a big stink bomb in there for you. I just wanted to warn you. Okay, we're buddies, right? And then come back out and rip Evers some. So, yep. Classic, trying to have it both ways politician. Welcome to the bigs, Derek Van Orden.
And I'll clarify my own word. When I said he voted against, I meant he voted against the interests of the state. So he voted for Trump's bill.
I knew.
Which was I know, but some of their listeners, they don't understand my weirdness like you do, Pat, because you've hung around me. God love you. Probably too much for your liking, but I love it. I enjoy it.
It's okay. It's a contractual obligation, but I fulfill it. That's all right.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. So I think this is just interesting because, and Trigvy said this before last couple of weeks, I really think that Derek Van Orden is politically worried for his future. I think he looks at what's going on right now in this country, as you've talked about on your show, what this budget actually means for people in Wisconsin. There are going to be people that have loved ones who are not going to be in nursing homes anymore. There are going to be people that don't have health care anymore. I think it was Senator Bernie Sanders. What was it? 276,000 plus Wisconsinites are going to now lose health care coverage. You know, as we say back in Richland Center, where I'm from, some may quite right about this guy, Derek Van Orden.
Well, the thing that he could really learn from the rest of the Republican delegation for Wisconsin in the U.S. House is shut up. I mean, look, Scott Fitzgerald took the same vote. Mm-hmm. He has no regrets whatsoever.
Yeah.
None. You know, you don't hear anything about him. You don't hear Glenn Grothman's name in the news because he is also not getting on Twitter calling people names. So if you're going to take the vote to hurt the constituents, just follow those guys and go, yeah, I don't care. And then not get on Twitter and not name call reporters and not try to call attention to yourself. Go back to what the one thing that he does well, the one thing Derek Van Orden does well, and maybe it isn't him, it's his campaign team. But in his commercials each year, he looks like the kindly older fella next door who rides a Harley. And he's just working on that in the garage. And he loves his grandkids and
the
all
dog.
That. Yep, and the folks who never see his social media interactions, who never see the way he talks to reporters and others, the way he talks to you know, people in public, they believe the commercials. So, I mean, again, somebody needs to take away his social media passwords and tell him to make more videos, even if it's not campaign season. Make the videos that make you look kindly, even as you're sticking that shiv into the constituents who rely on Medicaid in your district.
I couldn't agree, but to your point, Pat, you made here, politically, don't you think this guy is going on social and attacking people and name calling? Because I think he's truly worried about his re-election.
I think that's just his nature. He knows that there are three different strong women who've announced so far that want to run against him next year. He has no idea who his opponent's going to be. And so he's just swinging wildly at everything because, like you said, desperation will do that when he does not have facts and, I don't know, morals on his side.
Pat Kreitlow, come on back. Talk a little. We got education. Yes, our old friend Jay Rothman wants to up your tuition. We'll discuss that with Mr. Kreitlow on the other side. See if Trigvy shows up. He's on a jet plane. Don't go anywhere. It's the Almost Show on Civic Media's Radio Network.
First class.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away, so come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Shayna Broussard became the chair of the Federal Election Commission July 1st. Problem is, her bipartisan commission, hapless in the best of times, will still be paralyzed. The agency is supposed to have six members, but has only three, so no enforcement can take place. Broussard, a Democrat, was nominated by President Donald Trump in his first term and confirmed by the Senate in December 2020. Broussard served as a counsel in the FEC beginning in 2008. Broussard takes the reins of an agency unable to do its job. Resignations of commissioners in January and April and Trump's firing of Chair Ellen Weintraub in February left only three members and no quorum to enforce election and campaign finance rules. The commission frequently deadlocks along its three Democrat and three Republican party lines. Only in egregious cases of corruption, such as Congressman George Santos, is a bipartisan recommendation for prosecution typically made. The FEC can continue to require campaign finance reporting, receive complaints, investigate, and make recommendations. It just can't enforce anything. Why, you may ask, has a Democrat become chair of the Trump administration's FEC? Because it's unlikely Trump will nominate an additional three members, keeping the FEC powerless to referee the upcoming midterms. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
People say I got a drinking problem. That ain't no reason to stop. People saying that I've hit rock bottom. Just cause I'm living on the rocks. Yes, I'm broken hearted.
Welcome back to the Pat Oswalt Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 22 now, past the hour of 2 o'clock on a Wednesday, July 9th, straight off the Derek Van Orden Spotify playlist. Welcome back, everyone. Glad to have you all along.
Sorry. I thought you were taking a shot at me for mentioning the two beer gardens at the Northern Wisconsin State
Fair. It was about DVO.
No. I'm like, Somers, that's so brilliantly passive-aggressive. Brilliantly so.
Someone who does not have a drinking problem, although he makes a very mean, nay I say, the best home brandy old fashioned I've ever had. And he was so kind to do it up when I was up there in Lake Wissota doing our show up there. Mr. Pat Kreitlow, you can hear him every morning on Mornings. With a conveniently named show, Morning to Pat Kreitlow.
Isn't it great you can throw that back at me?
I know. After 2 years of him doing it to me, I get to do it to him now. So that's great. People that have kids in universities in Wisconsin, they may need a brandy old fashioned after the news yesterday, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It says, pending an upcoming vote, tuition for the University of Wisconsin system students is set to rise in the upcoming school year. Board of Regents expected to vote on July 10th, a couple of days, on a proposed 5% increase to resident undergraduate tuition for most UW campuses. At UW-Madison, the flagship campus, that 5% increase would be an additional $500, bringing the 2025-2026 annual resident undergraduate tuition to $10,506. If the vote passes, it would mark the third consecutive year with a tuition increase. My old friend, tongue-in-cheek, UW System President Jay Rothman, said, after a decade of tuition freezes and lagging state aid, we believe we have struck a balance for students and families with this proposed and the proposal and the recent state investments in the UW as part of the 25-26 biennial budget, unquote. Pat, I, you know, no bigger believer in the UW system than me, and I think I'll include you in that as well. Mm-hmm. But after the legislature and Governor Evers did get more money into UW system's budget after the Republicans wanted to cut it by $87 million, you would think at least they might be able to go a year without sticking it to the people paying the tuition.
Well, I'm decidedly in the minority on this. I don't feel like the UW system or any colleges and universities should have to intentionally, you know, play victim or play pauper, you know, play those games, essentially. If it costs more money with inflation and everything else, that's fine. And put the pressure on the where it belongs, state government, which has done a woeful job of supporting higher education in the state. I looked it up, and did you know, Mr. Alba?
No, tell me.
It was 40 years ago that I was starting my senior year at UW-Eau Claire, 1985, the 85-86 academic year. My tuition that year was, I looked this up, $2,784.
For the year?
For the year.
Wow.
And that was almost entirely covered through either federal Pell Grants or other state assistance, things like reciprocity, because we valued higher education far more once upon a time in the state for nearly a century than we do now. So I understand that it's easy to get frustrated at the UW system for it. It's just that I can't get to that point because of my years-long frustration with the way that we have made it so convenient to knock colleges and universities, as Republicans love to do, you know, the ivory towers and the elites and everything else. And if we lose, you know, what's left of the UW system, and I'm not taking them off the hook for any mismanagement. I'm just saying, if we lose something like the UW system, that's the ball game for our state economy. We will be so much worse off if we don't have all of that research, if we don't have all those best and brightest people coming to our campuses, the faculty, the jobs that are created, not just directly, but indirectly through the graduates. This place has a story to tell. Now, I don't think Jay Rothman's doing a great job at all of telling that story or making justification for it. So I'm not taking anything away from your frustration with the tuition hike. I'm just telling you where my bias is that I would like to see, you know, this state through its legislature do more than just turn the UW into a convenient punching bag when it feels it has to do things like raise tuition.
No argument for me on my former party and their assault on higher public and K-12 public education in the state. Totally fair. I just look at it from the standpoint of, like, my two godsons, the last one graduated UW a couple of years ago now, and I know how much, you know, he and his parents were paying. He got a couple of small scholarships, but they were paying their own way. And it's tough on... And now with the closure of half of our two-year schools, so now you're going to tell some of these people, okay, now you have to drive an hour one way to go to class. Oh, and by the way, we're going to increase your tuition $500 a semester with all the money that's going into building projects. And those are important too. I'm not saying they're not, but you look at some of these, and I think the good people should be paid a fair and market wage on this. But I just think that when some, and you know what I'm talking about, I don't have to spell it out.
I do.
There are people that are on the 17th floor of Van Nuys, that's where the system is at, that are making $250,000, and they are assistants to Rothman and other people, and they're supposed to be lobbying the state legislature, and really $250,000 got us kind of milk toast. I just don't see the justification for it. And you could give these parents 1 year of not increasing tuition.
I think the UW system ought to hire you and they ought to hire me, because we are both absolutely correct yes. in how we are evaluating this problem, and both things need to be said, perhaps by two different people like we are right now, right. but both things are absolutely true. But those tuition hikes wouldn't be as necessary if the state came through and did their share. I get the optics. I get the politics. I keep coming back to the root cause.
Think what that could boost our state retirement, Pat, if we each took a couple of years at 200 grand. I mean, wow. We'd be sitting pretty, my friend. All right, we'll see you tomorrow up in Chippewa Falls.
Fair.
Thank you very much, Pat. Listen every morning, 6 until 9. Come on back. We'll talk tax on tips after this. Stay tuned now for a Farm Market Update with Pam Yonke.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
July is National Ice Cream Month, and in Wisconsin, 4-H members are all in. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. They're working with the Cedar Crest Ice Cream Company based in Wisconsin to come up with creative new flavor ideas the company might consider. Shannon Simon is the marketing manager for Cedar Crest Ice Cream, and she says this year's winner, Demo Derby, created by a 4-H club in Portage County, has some interesting twists.
The winner of this particular ice cream year is the Sunnyside Climbers 4-H from Portage County, Pullover, Wisconsin. They're winning ice cream called Demo Derby. And the way that they presented Demo Derby is that it's chocolate ice cream dented with chocolate cookie crumbs and smashed M&Ms and swirled with a chocolate fudge to represent the oils that you would have on the county fairgrounds when they have their Demo Derby. So Demo Derby was one of their favorite county fairs activities. So they wanted to create an ice cream that represented that particular county fair that we have.
Creative Kids, that's Shannon Simon. She's the marketing director for Cedar Crest Ice Cream. Finalists receive a Cedar Crest ice cream party, as well as the grand prize winner getting an ice cream party and $500 cash. Demo Derby will be a featured flavor you can look for at Cedar Crest locations all across Wisconsin.
Rural Mutual Insurance is proud to sponsor the event tent at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, August 5th through the 7th at Clinton Farms in Bear Creek. For nearly a century, Rural Mutual has protected Wisconsin farms and supported rural communities with local insurance agents in every county. Join them at the Rural Mutual Event Center for live music, vendor booths, barbecue demos, and more. They're proud to protect what matters most, your farm, your family, your future. Learn more at ruralmutual.com.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVet's Bovine Gold Light to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Gold Light keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Gold Light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
And it's cherry picking season in Wisconsin, particularly in Door County. The Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection has announced that Chris Lautenbach from Fish Creek and Jim Sequest from Ellison Bay have been elected to 3-year terms serving on the Wisconsin Cherry Board. They started those responsibilities on July 1st. That's a look at food news. I'm Pam Yonke.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Dry and sunny today with calm winds and comfortable conditions with highs in the low 80s. And it won't be too humid either. That holds off until tomorrow, becoming more muggy, partly sunny. Highs will make it to the mid-80s. Then a chance of some storms tomorrow afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, currently 82 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Years ago, I had some, I think I had a rainbow. No, it was a shirt. It was given to me, and I wore it because I support all people. And a friend of mine, like, sure, you want to walk around in that? You know, a t-shirt, people might think. I'm like, people might think I'm a human being that supports other human beings. I wore sports jerseys sometimes. No one ever says, are you worried people are going to think you're on the Cubs?
I don't think anyone would think that, though.
Oh, you haven't seen my curveball.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Jay Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the Supreme Court says the Trump administration can fire as many federal workers as it wants. Jim Santel will join us to talk about that. Plus, Brittany Merlot in Weather and Wine.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along with us. Zomers on the board. 35 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Pardon me, 2 o'clock. Check that. On Wednesday, July 9th, 2025. Many thanks to Pat Kreitlow of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Every morning from 6 until 9 for being here our first half hour. And looking forward to hanging out with Pat a little while up in the Chippewa Valley next couple of days. Going to be a great couple of shows from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair, so be with us tomorrow and Friday. We'll bring you all that live action from the Chippewa Valley. Trygve Olsen may or may not join us. He's stuck in flight, as they say. You know how it is. And by I heard our friend Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach on Matt Nair on Air this morning. Great program every morning from 9 until 11. They were talking a little bit about this. We'll touch on it maybe a little bit later. Big news from TSA, you don't have to take off your shoes anymore.
But even bigger, more important news from TSA, They're still keeping the recombobulation area.
Thank you. Yes, in Milwaukee, they have the recombobulation area where you can get, because sometimes you have to undress when you go through the
take off a belt, your shoes, no longer shoes, right. But take off a belt.
Sometimes, well, the story we had last week, if you have swamp crotch, Then you gotta get a pat down.
Disrobe.
In Milwaukee, they're so smart, Milwaukee ahead of the country on this, they set up an area where you can put your clothes back on. And it's called the recombobulation area. And our friend, our colleague, the political editor of Civic Media, Dan Schaefer, that is where he got the name for his great site called the recombobulation area. And so there was talk now that now that TSA is announcing you don't have to remove your shoes, do you really need a recombobulation area? And the answer is, of course, yes, 100%. You need the area at the airport, and you need a recombobulation area to get you all set with the news as well. So check it out, www, and you got to use the three W's, www.recombobulationarea.news. You can find Dan Schaefer and all the great contributors there at the Recombobulation Area. Thank you, Zomers, for that update there on that. I'm going to talk about tax on tips here in just a minute, but I wanted to finish up on this story we were talking a little bit about with Pat Kreitlow. Story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today on the University of Wisconsin system announcing that the Jay Rothman president wants to up tuition for students within the system, 5% across the board for in-state tuition. And of course, this is after the university got a big increase in the state. But, and believe me, I'm glad they got a $256 million increase in the budget after it was floated by Robin Voss and other Republicans in the legislature. They wanted to cut the system by $87 million. So I'm all for the increase. But you would think that Rothman would have been politically smart enough to say, you know what, why don't we not raise tuition for a year? Give students and in many cases their parents a break. But no, he wants a tuition up. So let me connect the dots, as they say. Connect Four. Great game, by the way. Is that classified as a board game? You're
Connect Four? Yeah.
Yeah. Really? Connect Four. All right. Because it's not really a board. It's more of a stand.
Yeah. I think you don't need to have a board necessarily to be considered a board game. It's just, I guess really? Tabletop game
oh,
is more
tabletop.
Accurate.
Tabletop game. I like that. Tabletop game. All right. So anyway, let me connect the dots for you because this is serious and this is serious business. So under this proposal by Rothman at UW System, non-resident undergraduate tuition would rise, hang on to your hats, to $42,531 at UW-Madison for the 25-26 school year. I mean, that's crazy, right? But here's the deal. Here, let me connect this for you. Why is it that when we talk about what's happening in D.C. with Donald Trump and the MAGA leadership out there wanting to crack down not just on undocumented folks in immigration, he's trying to cut back on even legal immigration, and he has targeted foreign students. They are now saying, according to the State Department, to Homeland Security, that if you want a student visa, you have to unlock all of your social media accounts. So you can, you know, Zomers knows more about this than me, but like on Twitter, for instance, on X, you can make it so that you have a social media account, but only people that it's locked, quote unquote, which means people have to ask to see your account or be in it. And if you don't give permission, they can't see your account. Is that right, Zomers?
Yeah.
Basically? And I think you could do that with Insta and Facebook and whatever. So now this State Department of Homeland Security says, hey, if you want to be a student in America, you have to unlock so we can review your social media accounts. And basically, if there's anything in there derogatory about Donald Trump or MAGA, gone. You don't get to come here. Which seems to me more than a little ironic that you have people coming from China and other countries where the government is not standing up for free speech, and they're coming here in part, at least, to study in a country that has more freedom. But now our current federal government under Trump is saying we're gonna decide whether you're ideologically compatible. And this ain't we're not talking about people who might be terrorists or making threats. We're talking about people that might have retweeted something that was anti-Trump. All right, you say, well, Todd, you're off on a tangent here. A little bit, but not really. Bear with me. Why is that important? Because the fewer foreign students that are allowed to come into America, and in our case, the fewer international students that are allowed to go to state public universities, just think of that. At Madison, for every person that Trump doesn't allow in, you're losing $42,531. Now replicate that several times. You know, my old professor, Jack O'Neill at UW-Platteville, used to say it all comes down to the dollar sign. Jack was right. If UW-System doesn't have has a lot fewer international students, guess what? They have to make up that revenue. And in part, I will give President Rothman a little bit of leeway, a little, because of the Trump administration allowing fewer foreign students here, they have to make up for those dollars. A lot of people say, why is it so hard to get my kid into UW-Madison? I mean, they're 4.0 or higher now. Grade point average. They were involved in extracurriculars and they got denied. Well, part of the reason is that UW-Madison, to the largest degree, but other state schools as well, have to hold out for financial reasons so many slots for international students because the state legislature under Republican control isn't allocating enough dollars for them to survive. It's a sick money game. And yes, I get it. I mean, I'm all for international students paying more as a privilege or whatever, but $42,531, that's like four times what a Wisconsin resident pays. And yes, I think that Wisconsin residents should get a deal. It is a public land grant university. In this story, in the Journal Sentinel, it says, what about graduate students? A majority of UW campuses are also proposing increases to graduate tuition, both for residents and non-residents. For graduate residents, tuition would increase between 4 and 5.6% at all campuses, with the exception of Madison and Milwaukee. Those two are proposing to keep their graduate resident tuition flat. It's nearly the same story for non-residents. Madison and Milwaukee are proposing no increases, and other campuses are proposing between 1.9 and 5.3% increases. That's for graduate students. But you see how this is all connected? If you kind of dig down into it, what happens in D.C.? Well, how does that affect me? Well, it could very well mean that your niece, your nephew, your son, your daughter can't get into the state university that they want to because there simply aren't enough slots for financial reasons. So why we have to have investment in our UW system. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to Mark in Pernissac. Mark, thanks for listening. What say you?
Well, heaven forbid somebody criticize the orange menace that is currently the president of the United States. And as far as international students go, I went to school to UW-Superior, mm-hmm. 76 to 1980. I graduated in 1980. And there was a significant number of students from Nigeria at UW-Superior mm-hmm. at that point in time. I mean, there's two different categories of them. Some were there on, I think it was called the Riverside Scholarships, and there was others there that came from very wealthy families that were, you know, going to school in the northern Wisconsin, you know, that in the middle of the continent, that coming from Nigeria. Mm-hmm. I mean, those were international students, and I don't know what the rate was back then. I mean, tuition was certainly a heck of a lot cheaper back then because the state actually kicked in more funds toward the university.
Right.
But I mean, that cutting off that resource for the, you know, for our universities and that resource for our country, you know, bringing in knowledge and exposing people to, you know, to America, coming from other countries, and Donald Trump is so thin-skinned that they're just afraid, oh, somebody might be criticizing Donald Trump. Right. I mean, for God's sakes, they're detaining American citizens because, you know, yeah. when they're coming back from foreign countries, because they might have criticized the king. Well, that's the kind of crap that the colonists went through back in the day when we declared independence from the king. Yeah. You couldn't criticize the king back then, period.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate the call, Mark. Just up against the clock, but I appreciate the call. Yeah, Mark's absolutely right. And I've told the story before. I won't tell the entire thing again so as not to bore you. But the greatest part about my college experience were my 3 years at a two-year college at UW-Richland with the Central American Scholarship Program that was administered through, guess where, USAID, the State Department, which Trump and Marco Rubio cut, to bring students from very poor families but that were academically excellent that would never otherwise get a university education, to give them two-year full-ride scholarships to come to the United States to learn either computers or business, with the requirement to go back home for 2 years in order to lift from within, both economically and to give them the quote-unquote American experience, so they can go back and say, you know, this is back in the late 80s, so you can say, yeah, you know what? Democracy and America is better than communism and Russia and the Soviet Union at that time. That program did more to improve world relations and peace than all the money that you stuck into bombs or defense. And guess who was one of the main authors of the Central American Scholarship Program? Republican U.S. Senator Bob Casten of Wisconsin. That Republican Party no longer exists. We'll get to tax on tips. Don't go anywhere. We'll give you the whole story, including the tips. Come on back. It's the Todd Allbald Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Escape to the hidden gem of the Midwest, Chula Vista Resort. Relax with modern comforts and breathtaking views. Thrill into water parks and swing into championship golf. Savor diverse dining options. Book your summer retreat now. Call 1-800-388-4782 or visit ChulaVistaResort.com.
Chula Vista Resort is one of the top 10 indoor water parks in the USA with 26 water slides over 1.5 miles long. Find out more at ChulaVistaResort.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the recombobulation area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Veterans, have you explored your benefits lately? As in, really looked at them? Veterans who bravely served our country deserve the benefits they've earned and life-saving support when they need it. We know that no one can do this alone, and we're stronger when we work together. The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs stands ready to serve Wisconsin veterans, their families, and their survivors. With our network of partners, like your local county Veterans Service Officer, we can help connect veterans with services such as education, employment, mental health services, veteran ID, long-term care, and more. We stand ready to serve you. For more information, call 1-800-WIS-VETS or visit WISVETS.com. That's WISVETS.com. Message sponsored by Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to, like, bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
There were bells on the hill, but I never heard them ringing. No, I never heard them at all till there was you.
Welcome back to the Todd Allbald Show. On the chill vibe of a Wednesday afternoon on the Civic Media Radio Network, 8 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock. I love that song. I don't know why. It takes me back to my early radio days at WRCL and Richland Center. Ray Schrader, reminiscing with Ray every Saturday afternoon, and he would play that. He played the old tunes like that, and it was just, I don't know
that
why.
That version of it, too, or the other one?
Maybe, I think there was
a lot of versions of this song.
It's been done a lot. Well, is that from My Fair Lady? What show is that from? I'm not exactly sure.
It's a cover by Peggy Lee.
Right.
Do you mean the original? It's from Music Man, I think.
Music Man, all right. Yeah, there you go. But it's just a chill song that I tend to. If you watch The Secret Show, if you tune in on the stream on Facebook, YouTube, Twix, Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, I occasionally just start singing that, and Zomers has to put up with it. and occasionally he'll throw it back at me like that, and I love it every time he does it. All right, welcome back, everybody. and that had nothing to do with anything other than amuse me. So, Zomers, have you ever had, I'm not sure I've ever asked you this before, we've been together almost 3 years. Can you imagine
almost
that?
Almost 3 years.
This
wow.
show has been on the air almost 3 years, and that in and of itself these days is quite the accomplishment.
Indeed.
I'm not sure I've ever asked you, have you ever worked in a job where you relied on tips?
I have not. I have worked in jobs where I received tips but never relied on them. Like, I worked at a Starbucks, and you get some tips, but it's not the bulk of your salary or, you know, your wages.
I would say similar. I've, you know, also my first job at coffee years ago was at a Starbucks where you got tips. I served, but I was kind of in a management role. So if I occasionally wait a table, I just put my tips in with like the bartender tips or whatever. So I haven't myself personally relied on it. But here is, as my old social studies teacher Ken Lewis is fond of saying, here is a hitherto unknown fact. Did you know that in Wisconsin, the minimum wage for tipped employees like servers is still $2.33 an hour?
I did.
I know you did.
Although, technically, if they don't make it to real minimum wage with tips, then the employer has to pay up to that.
You took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah, you're right. So they passed a law not too long ago. Exactly. Zomers is right. So if a server or bartender's tips don't equal at least $7.25 an hour, which is still the ridiculously low, non-livable wage, minimum wage in this state and, you know, the country, at least in this state, the employer has to make up for it. But the employer can claim a tip credit for the difference between the tip wage and the minimum wage, which I'm fine with that. I think that's great. But the important part, so people say, well, why should I tip my server? We're at this nice fancy restaurant. I'm paying, you know, $60 for a filet. And you want me to pay 10, 20% more, hopefully at least 15 or 20% more for a tip. Yes, because the person that's waiting on you for that hour or 90 minutes, they are only making technically $2.33 an hour. So I'm going to start this and we're going to finish it on the other side in 3 o'clock hour here. According to WISC TV Channel 3000, the CBS affiliate in Madison says President Donald Trump's campaign promise to eliminate federal taxes on tips has become a reality in his budget bill. So what will it mean for Wisconsin's more than 50,000 tip workers? The provision allows workers to deduct up to $25,000 in tips annually with an income cap of $150,000. Tipped workers will still have to pay state and local income taxes and payroll taxes. According to Susan Quam, executive vice president of the Wisconsin Restaurant Association, which represents 7,000 locations across the state of Wisconsin, she says that's going to cover a huge portion of what people are earning. Quam also said the provision will apply to industries that traditionally have used tipping so that other sectors won't have to, quote, jump on the bandwagon, unquote. She says many of our folks are either part-time, either supplemental income to the family, or are students putting themselves through school. This will help them achieve their goals as individuals. According to a May report for the White House Council of Economic Advisors, eliminating federal taxes on tips for eligible workers will increase take-home pay by roughly $1,600 annually. However, there's roughly 4 million tipped workers in the United States, and nearly a third don't earn enough to pay federal income tax, meaning they wouldn't actually benefit from this tax elimination. That seems to be a problem. Laura Dresser, a labor economist and professor at UW Madison, questions whether the tax cut addresses the most pressing challenges facing tipped workers. She says, quote, tax on tips is not the first problem I would solve for tipped workers in this economy, unquote. Instead, she argues that tipped workers face more fundamental issues like limited access to benefits such as health care and hour wage instability. And here's the kicker. This Trump tax on tip provision is extended only through the 2028 under the current budget bill, basically meaning that Congress could restrict or abolish it in the future. So this, again, unfortunately, is politically brilliant. They get to go around Republicans and campaign for the midterm election saying, hey, we got rid of the tax on tips. And if you put them back in office, guess what? It's gone. It was, as George Costanza once said on Seinfeld, did take. I mean, I laugh about it because it's so ridiculous. But it's tragically sad because most people aren't going to dig down into the facts. They're just going to let Trump and the Republican Congress get away with this sham.
That's why it's Oliver Twist.
That's why, as Mr. Lewis says, you can't be so poor that you can't pay attention. Come on back. Hour two is next. We might talk a little bit more on this tax on tips. And what's worse, a za edition. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In Texas high country, at least 118 are now confirmed dead from the catastrophic July 4th floods. Another 170 are still missing. Stories of survival also emerging from summer camps to an RV park where Julia Hatfield was staying with her husband. She says they had enough warning to get into their car and drive to high ground.
My husband had stayed awake. The rain was coming down really hard, and so he was making sure we didn't have any leaks in our RV. And he started to hear screaming, and he looked out and saw that the lower level of the park was, that's about 4 feet lower than us. The RVs were already they had water up to the doors.
President Trump signaled that Israel and Hamas are getting closer to finalizing a possible Gaza ceasefire deal. A sticking point remains of Hamas's demand for Israel to fully withdraw from Gaza. 2 years after Elon Musk hired Linda Yaccarino as CEO for X, she announced she's leaving the platform. Michelle Franz in ABC News.